This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, president. Practicing parallel investing. And that means the principals at KPP have their personal funds invested right alongside their clients in all their investment programs. And now, today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Invest Talk. This is our Monday, March 20th, 2017 edition of Invest Talk. And as always, we are here to help you become an above average investor. So we are here each and every weekday to try to help you make the best possible choices when it comes to your money, whether that's savings or investing or spending. We try to answer your questions live during this 4 to 5 Pacific time hour, or you can always leave your question on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART. That's 888-992-4278, and we'll get to those questions in a moment. But today, we're going to discuss how you can overinvest in your 401k and lead to a taxing retirement, meaning high taxes in retirement. It's one of the biggest mistakes investors make. So can you save too much in your 401k or your IRA? Typically, it's not usually the IRA because the limits are so low. But on your 401k, that tends to be pretty high. So are you making a mistake there? It depends. Everyone's situation is a little bit different. But I'm going to tell you why you potentially could be. So that's one of our main talking points today. Now, Invest Talk comes in many forms. In addition to this hour we spend each weekday with questions and answers, we develop information and perspective in other ways, or deliver information and perspective in other ways. Now, this weekend, we have our Saturday Morning Wealth Conference at the San Jose Hyatt House. This is a three-hour session. It's going to allow us to dig deeper and provide some enriched content on an important aspect of investing. And that is developing a plan, then developing a strategy, how to do the research and analysis. How do you put it all together? So we're going to talk about the professional approach to accurate research, fact-based analysis, and winning strategy. You can sign up now on investtalk.com. Now there's our weekly premium newsletter to bring you up to date on this week's market and economic development. And also each Monday, we publish Invest Talk Views, which I did over the weekend. And this week, I spent about 5 minutes or so removing the veil of stock analysis, understanding kind of the basics of what you need to consider when you're trying to do stock analysis, right? So what's the bigger picture view? How do you, what boxes do you need to check before you make a decision is what I discussed. Now, every Monday, we will give you an overview of the economic climate, tell you what to keep an eye on for the upcoming week as well, and then potentially some just thoughts of how to become a better investor. So that's what Invest Talk Views is all about. Now, another way we can bolster your financial knowledge is through our Invest Talk Insiders program. Steve mentioned this on Friday. If you're an Invest Talk Insider already, you may have noticed this a new look on the site. Now, for you, your Invest Talk Insider membership means you can now browse a very comprehensive selection of in-depth financial articles and news, background articles from the top sources out there, and that we've kind of specially curated for you. Now, when you select the Insider Archives, you have access to a broad range of helpful info sheets. You also have instant access to any of all the our wealth webinars that we've done in the past, such as the upside of lower oil prices, global value investing, survival and opportunity in a volatile market. There's doing dividends right in there as well. So if you're an insider, why not? If you're not an insider, why not sign up? It's free. You can do it right there on investtalk.com. Click on the Invest Talk tab and then Invest Talk Insider. So take a look at our new look. See what, you know, if you have any feedback, send us a note. Just remember, just go to investtalk.com, click on the Invest Talk tab. Now I'm ready for any money questions right now at 888-99-CHART. Let's get to the phones and take this question from our 24-hour listener line.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Dave. I'm a podcast listener from Pennsylvania. I had a question regarding fees, the ETF fees or mutual funds. What was the ETF So let's just say that management fees are 1%, just to make the math simple, and I've invested $10,000 into this, and I've subsequently made 10% on this. When it's time to take profit, and at the end of the day when I get a check for the money, is it 1% less than the 10% I made, or is it 1% of the whole amount that I put into it? So again, if I put 10,000 into this, I made 10%. I've now have in my account a fund that's worth $11,000. When I cash that out, do I get, you know, 11,000 minus 1%, or is it the 10% minus that? So I'd appreciate any comment you had on that. Thank you.
All right, it's a great question. And typically when you're talking about ETFs or mutual funds and you're talking about fees, you're thinking of an expense ratio. And that's not something that happens after the fact when you go and sell the investment. That's something that happens every day. Okay? So when you own a mutual fund, you own an ETF, you might not see the fees in there, but you're getting charged them on a daily basis. Now, it might be micro fractions of a basis point on a daily basis, but when you add those up every day, suddenly, you know, it becomes the full expense ratio for the full year, right? So the management company is actually extracting those fees on a daily basis, and you aren't seeing it, and that's reflected in what's called the NAV, the net asset value. Now, mutual funds trade at the net asset value, right? At the end of the day, you get what that net asset value is. So if you go to sell it, say, you know, it looks like you made 10%. Well, you did make 10% because all those fees have already been taken out, okay? Whether that's an ETF or a mutual fund. Now, on the mutual fund side, you might have different share classes that have loads, and there's front-end loads and back-end loads, okay? So the front-end load is you're getting charged a commission right off the top, which you should never be buying mutual funds with loads anyway, but they are out there. So you could be paying up to 5, 6% up front to buy a mutual fund. And then when you go and sell it, that's usually A share funds are usually front end loaded. And then there's back end loaded. A lot of times I think those are C share funds. I haven't dealt with them in a while. Sometimes I forget. But I think they're C share funds. And that's when you get charged a commission on the back end, meaning you, when you go and sell it, then you're charged that 1% or 2% load on the back end. So understand that fee structure as well. There's loads on mutual funds, and then there's expense ratios. And that's kind of the daily expense that you're getting charged. And the expense ratios happen on the ETF side, but the commission charges to buy and sell the mutual fund or that ETF are also there as well. And you may get that charge on the mutual fund side, but that's less often. So those are kind of the fees you have to look for. So if on your statement, you have a mutual fund or an ETF. If you go and sell it and you're up 10%, unless there's a back end load, the odds are you're making that 10% on the mutual fund side. On the ETF side, you go and sell it, you're going to charge that commission, whatever that is for your brokerage, whether it's $5 a trade, $8 a trade, $10 a trade, whatever that is. But besides that, you should get that full 10%. So hopefully that clarifies it for you. And for everyone else out there, understand if you own any type of fund, you are getting charged on a consistent basis daily. Now I'm ready for any money questions right now. 8899 chart. I want to hear from you. Now let's go over what we're going to discuss today. First, can you save too much in your 401k, like I talked about earlier? That's something to consider. And then we're going to discuss the 4% rule. For years, pretty much since 1994, when there was a report by Bill Bengen, I think that's what his name is, he came out with a report, 4%, it should be the basis for your expectation of what you should take out of your retirement accounts on an annual basis, okay, for retirement. So then you use that as a tool to figure out how much you need to retire, and we're going to discuss why that's kind of changed throughout the years based on some research. And then this year is likely going to be the year of retail bankruptcies. And I'm going to discuss which ones are likely to go under, which retailers are likely to go under in 2017. And then if we have time, how globalization has affected manufacturing around the world. I know this is a big topic lately with Trump as president and all the populist candidates that are springing up in Europe and around the world. And I think it's important to discuss that and understand where those flows have happened over the last few decades. Now, first, let's take a quick look at today's market. We had the Dow, where are we? There we go. Dow down about 8 points. S&P down 5. The NASDAQ was slightly positive, up about half a point. Really a flat day overall. And the market continues to be fairly weak, especially if you look at the likes of financials and some commodity names. Financials are finally turning. And this is one of those big, to me, the biggest areas of the financial media that is just misguiding investors right now. And that's owning financials. Because guess what? Interest rates aren't breaking out. Everyone's talking about higher interest rates, talking about stimulus from the Trump administration, which is far off. He wants to get through healthcare reform, which, you know, Obamacare took 3 years. This is probably going to take at least a year, probably more. It's the most complex domestic issue that we have, and that needs to go through before we get to other reforms. So the Trump euphoria, I think, is starting to finally wane after many months of, tax reform and fiscal stimulus, etc. It's not coming for a long, long time, if at all. And I think you're starting to see some major sectors in the market really turn, and I think this is a leading indicator for everybody. I'm financial advisor and licensed realtor Justin Klein. Any money questions are welcome. Especially beginner questions, 888-99-CHART is our live listener line every weekday from 4 to 5 Pacific time.
Hey, Steve and Justin. Thanks so much for everything you guys do for investors out there. I had a question for you about two semiconductor stocks, Applied Materials, and the other is Micron. I just wanted to get your take on both of them to see if you preferred one over the other. I know both have had pretty solid runs over the past year or so, but I wanted to get your take on what they look like moving forward. Thanks so much, guys. Bye.
All right. Like he stated, he's looking at two semiconductor type companies. You're somewhat looking at apples and oranges to a degree. And I'm saying this because one makes semiconductors, and that would be Micron. They might make DRAM and flash and other solid state drives, other modules, and they produce the semiconductors. Where AMAT, Applied Materials, they make the equipment to make the semiconductors. See the difference? That's the big difference. So you have to understand you're looking at kind of two different names. Even though they're both in the semiconductor space, I would go with AMAT. I like AMAT better. I think the cash flows are more consistent. Their business model is better. And I just like that overall. So I would go with them. This is Invest Talk. I'm Justin Klein. 888-99-CHART is our number. Give us a call. Let's go to Steve in San Francisco. How you doing, Steve?
Hi, Justin. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
I'm trying to get your opinion on the ETF in the financial sector. The symbol is XLF.
Okay. Do you own it? You looking to buy it? What?
Thinking about buying it, and I was just trying to find out what you think, and is this a good time to get into it?
And what? Why are you thinking about buying it?
Because I've seen the interest rates go up, and I figured if banks will start making a little bit of money.
Yep. Well, that's part of the recent bump, and I think it's a complete crock. If you look at interest rates, while they've gone up, they're still kind of in a range. And actually, the yield curve is flattening. And that's what the banks really need. They need a steepening yield curve. Because what do banks do? They borrow short and they lend long. And the yield curve, when it's steep, it means their cost to borrow short is cheap, and their amount they're getting for their loans and the out are higher. So they're earning a good spread, right? Whereas now that yield curve is flattening, even though rates have gone up a little bit, rates aren't breaking out. So I think this is an absolute horrible time to be buying XLF. In fact, I would short the hell out of it, because I think it's going to retrace almost the complete move it's had since Election Day. I might consider it back at $20 a share. Now it's at $24.25. But I kind of have to reassess the situation once it gets there. So I would absolutely not be buying XLF.
Okay. Perfect.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks, Steve. 888-99 chart, 888-992-4278. That's how you get through. We have about 30 minutes left, but it goes by quick. So if you're going to call in, try to do it sooner rather than later. Now, our main talking point today is, can you save too much in your 401k? And this extends to your IRA as well, but typically it's usually your 401k. Now, when you're assessing, and we are assessing a client's financial fitness, we usually discuss whether they are diversified. But there's another aspect of the diversification beyond just owning the right amount of stocks versus bonds and the right industries, spread, etc. But it's also tax diversification. And most people haven't put much thought into that because they haven't thought about what taxes will be when they start to withdraw their retirement funds. So we talk about, so when you're looking at all the different accounts that you might have, such as a 401k, a traditional IRA, a 403b, those are all tax-deferred accounts. And then you have your taxable brokerage accounts, your tax-free accounts, such as your Roth 401k or Roth IRA, other tax investment vehicles. You have to look at how all these things are taxed, right? You have to understand that. Now, a large percentage of people, probably 80 to 90%, have almost all their money in a 401k or traditional IRA or some type of qualified retirement account, like a pension. Now, most of the stories are only discussing the tax savings today and the tax-deferred growth. But no one's discussing the exit strategy from those tax plans, meaning when you take that money out, what's your tax rate going to be? And if you think about it, while you may not be working in retirement, you might have a lot of other sources of income, like Social Security, a pension, maybe you have rental income from properties, etc. And then you have to think about how poorly our budget in America is, right? How it's $20 trillion in debt. I don't think the government can really reduce taxes. They're probably only continue to go up. They might ebb and flow, but to fill a ballooning budget deficit that is only going to get worse as baby boomers hit retiring age, and you have Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security, it's only going to balloon. So tax rates are likely to go up down the line versus where they are today. And then you are going to be forced, once you hit 70 and a half, to take money out of these retirement accounts because Uncle Sam wants its money. And they do this through the required minimum distribution. So all these forms of income could push your tax bracket up higher than you expect. And then there's other types of taxes that you will have to pay if you make too much money. For example, if you make more than $107,000 a year, you pay an increasing amount for Medicare Part B premiums, about double. And that's if you make too much money in retirement. And taking money out of your IRAs or your 401ks in retirement is counted towards income. So what's very important to understand is that you don't want to use these too extensively by saving $15,000, $20,000 a year if you're in a low tax bracket. Not to say you don't use them, but you use things like, say you're in a 25% tax bracket. You make $130,000 a year, you and your spouse together, and your next tax bracket is $153,000 a year. Well, you might want to convert an IRA to a Roth IRA. And yeah, your adjusted gross income is going to go up, but you're going to lock in that 25% tax bracket, which may be higher in the future. But everyone's situation is different, so you have to assess it. Now we're at the halfway mark. Give us a call. I want to hear from you. 888-99-CHART.
Our podcast continues next. First, a couple of words for KPP Financial and a question. When's the last time you reviewed your entire investment portfolio? Not just glanced over the documents, but really reviewed them. Well, Steve believes this is something that should be done quarterly, every year at the very least, and coming up with a plan, a strategy, to make sure it's moving in the right direction. Steve sets aside several days a month to talk with our podcast listeners via Skype or telephone and help them review their portfolio and make sure it's on track. To start the process going, just go to investtalk.com and click on Portfolio Review or call 888-99-CHART and follow the prompts. Now let's continue with our podcast. Invest Talk continues. Next time, one of the first things to do is to determine your time horizon. That can be trickier than it sounds. What do you mean by long-term investment? That's one of our topics next time on Invest Talk.
Hey guys, love the show. Listen to you frequently and learn lots. I have a question here. Would you guys ever buy Nucor Steel? Does that look like a good stock right now? I saw it just had good earnings reports come in the other day. And steel seems to be kind of a popular thing right now, or the future of it does. And just wondering what you think of its future and outlooks. See that its growth is kind of low and its return time and all that, but looks like a solid company. Thanks.
I was looking at Nucor Steel. N-U-E is the symbol. They're engaged in the manufacturing of steel and steel products, so it's pretty direct. They are located in North Carolina. Their headquarters are in North Carolina. Yield about 2.3%. Pretty good consistent cash flows over time, although 2013 it did dip into negative territory when it came to free cash flow. Its profitability over time has never been that fantastic. I mean, 2007, 2008 was really good, but ever since the financial crisis, they've been hanging around the single digits for return on equity, which I don't like. Their financial leverage is not too bad, around 2, which isn't terrible, especially with nice positive cash flow. So it's an okay company. I don't like it here. It's rallied a lot. I think a lot of it's based on the assumption that Trump is going to put in protectionist policies, especially for the steel industry, which he's discussed in the past. And I think that trade is waning. So is it hot right now? Yeah, but you're late to the game, and I think that's all going to be unwound, like I said before, when the market starts to wake up and realize, well, Trump wants to do a lot of things. He's going to have a lot of trouble getting a lot of it passed because there are factions of the Republican Party that are on board with him and those that aren't in various topics. And the Democrats, they're almost blanket against everything he wants to do. So he needs all of the Republicans to get on board. Even though he controls the House and the Senate, or the Republicans control the House and the Senate, you know, his policies, they kind of cut both ways. Sometimes they have left-leaning aspects to the proposals, and sometimes very far right-leaning aspects, and that creates a lot of friction. And you have to realize he has to deal with Congress to get a lot of this stuff passed. So that story is starting to wane, and I continue to believe that the Trump bump is going to turn into the Trump dump, and you're going to go right back to where we were on election night when it comes to the markets, and I would say NUE, Nucor, as well. So I would avoid Nucor Steel. Okay. 888-99 chart is our number, 888-992-4278. We have about 22 minutes left in the show. So if you're going to call in sooner rather than later. Now, this year is likely going to be the year of retail bankruptcies. And there's been a slew of downgrades from S&P in regards to Macy's, Neiman Marcus, and Charlotte Russe. All three of these received downgrades in the past month. And you've also seen pretty large-scale bankruptcies as well from H.H. Gregg, Gordman Stores, Limited Stores, Wet Seal. These are all companies that either filed Chapter 11 reorganization or Chapter 7 liquidation and getting rid of all their stores. So if you're looking in that space, that's a space where I think you're likely to see a lot of value traps, okay? Value traps are probably the most destructive way you could invest your money, is because they might look okay now. They look cheap on book value, may and sales, etc. But margins are so low, or debt is so high, that they're really just not going to be able to dig themselves out of this trend, which is online sales taking over the retail space, the retail world. And I think it's only going to continue. And you see Walmart, you know, they just made another purchase over the weekend of another online retailer when it comes to women's apparel, I believe. And they see the writing on the wall. And these smaller companies are really going to really continue to have trouble. So if you have bonds in that space, and I've seen this, you know, I've seen clients come in with bonds that are distressed because their broker pitched them on this high yield bond that earned a lot, but, you know, at high probability of default. And you want to make sure you try to avoid that area of the marketplace as well. So be aware that this is, and if oil prices go down again, this could be a double whammy in the high yield bond space, which could really wreak havoc across the fixed income market, between more bankruptcies from the retail space, and then also a new redux of bankruptcies in the energy space, especially if oil gets back below $40 a barrel. We're kind of in the high 40s now, mid-high 40s. But the oversupply of oil is likely going to weigh on the industry as well. So those are the two industries that I worry about a lot, and also financials a little bit. A listener called about XLF earlier. You're seeing high default rates in the automobile space that really, really worries me. And so those three areas of the marketplace are having trouble. And I think they could be the source. And I've said this before. The next big recession, the next big problem in the financial world isn't going to come from the housing market. Now, housing market might be affected by it, but the industry has learned a lot from the last financial crisis, okay? So they're not making the same types of mistakes, right? The no doc loans, etc. But there's other areas of finance that have created a lot of problems and over-lended and really didn't pay attention to lending standards. And really, that's the automobile lending space, and it's the corporate bond market. And there are plenty of corporations out there that are getting way too much financing for their business model and their sustainability, or lack of sustainability in their business model in the current environment. And I think you're going to see the next crisis emanate from one of those two spaces, and I'm probably going to say the corporate bond space. Now, we're counting down to our Saturday Morning Wealth Conference on the 25th of March in San Jose. This is a chance to peek under the hood of what a professional does, a registered investment advisor firm like KP Financial. We're going to give you kind of an overview of our approach. You're going to learn the professional approach to accurate research, fact-based analysis, and winning strategy. So if you're a hands-on investor, you can see how, you know, we streamlined our research and the tools that we use for success. And we're going to show you some free tools that you can use as well. And they're available to you just right there on the internet. But if you're not the hands-on type, but you know, you have money under management, maybe with another advisor, or it's just sitting at your old 401k, right, which probably a lot of you, that applies, or you're just doing your best you can on your own. This is a way to see exactly how a professional investment advisor works with clients, does research, develops a plan, etc. Again, it's this Saturday morning, March 25th at the San Jose Hyatt House, 9 a.m. to noon, and you can register online on investtalk.com.
What's in it for insiders? Become an InvestTalk insider and find out. Insiders will see a brand new look now. Now a comprehensive display of the latest news and information is available in one place, with wide-ranging topics, reports, how-to articles, and opinions all in one place. And it's free. Never a charge for any of this useful content. To sign up, just go to investtalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab.
Hi, Steve and Justin. How are you? My name is Hercules, and I am a podcast listener and also a newsletter subscriber. I would like to know your assessment of Fogo, F-O-G-O. It's a restaurant business. I'd like to know your assessment on a value or growth standpoint, or whether you would, not invest on it. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, he's looking at Fogo de Chao. This is a company who owns a chain of churrascarias, which are Brazilian steakhouses. I've never actually been to a Fogo de Chao. I've been to a churrascaria in New York City, but I've never been to an actual Fogo de Chao, but I've heard great things about them. Super small company when it comes to market cap, $423 million market cap. Revenues of $288 million. So it's trading at about 2x sales. Its chart, let's look at its chart a little bit. It went IPO, and this is another example of a good IPO, of why IPOs tend to be duds. It went IPO, first day it traded on 23, gapped all the way down around 20 the first week, and now it's down around $15 a share at the close today. Its operating earnings yields is about 9%. That's not bad, to be honest with you. I think that's pretty solid. Doesn't pay a dividend. Its growth potential, it's kind of a high-end restaurant, so there's certainly some luxury aspects of their business, but their growth has been kind of all over the place, ranging from, let's go look the last, since the IPO, it's gotten up to around 13% in a quarter, but on average, it's around maybe 5 or 6%, so it's not a high-growth name by any means. I like that a positive cash flow. That's good. It's return on equity, return on assets, invested capital, just kind of nothing fantastic. I give it a 5. I'm not that impressed with it. I don't hate it. I don't love it. I would probably find something better. And you probably can find something better in the restaurant space. And maybe it's probably going to be less cyclical as well, since this is a little more high-end. So I give it an overall. 888-99 chart, 888-992-4278. We have, how many minutes? About 12 minutes left in the show, so give us a call if you have a question. Now, the typical retirement rule of thumb is that you will need 4%, or you can take out 4% of your total savings annually in retirement, right? So if you have $100,000, you can take out $4,000 annually. If you have $1 million, you take out $40,000 annually. That's a pretty standard rule of thumb. But over time, there have been different research reports that have been released that kind of refine that a little better. Okay, that should help you adjust that 4% rule. And I think the 4% rule is a good baseline for what you should be thinking about. Okay, but a small difference in that from 4% to 3 or 4% to 5 can mean a huge difference in how much you need going into retirement. Now, the study that I'm talking about examined 5 different types of withdrawal strategies and found that the primary method employed by a lot of advisors is a constant withdrawal rate throughout retirement. But it's actually not very efficient. And if you, the most efficient one is actually reassessing how much you can take out each and every year based on mortality. Meaning how many more years you have to live. Now, this is different for everybody in different age because, well, when you're born, you have an average age of 74. If you actually make it to 65, your average age is going to be 85. Okay? That's a big difference. It's 11 years. So if you actually make it to 65 at retirement, you're likely to live till 85. And then you have to figure out, okay, how much should I take out in that first year? Well, what you should do is take your leftover life expectancy. So you're 65, you expect to live to 85. Take 1 divided by that number, so 20 in this case, and you get 5%. So you should be able to take out 5% of your income. And then the next year, you reassess that as well. Okay, and that might, 5% of your total investments. And then the next year, you reassess that again. What is my life expectancy? Is it still 20 years? Maybe it's 19 years. Maybe your health changes a little bit, right, for the better or worse. And that's why everyone's situation is a little bit different. Okay, and a lot of people might turn to annuities as well, and they think that's the best way to go. Well, once again, that's static. And your actual amount you can take out each year is more dynamic. And that's why you kind of need an advisor. You need a full picture of your financial situation to assess what you really need going forward and what you can take out this year. And then what you can take out next year. And it's going to be dynamic. And it could be depending on how the market did, how your portfolio did, what returns you got on that. Okay? So this is one of the benefits of having an advisor is sitting down. And this is what Steve does. And I think he already has 3 appointments after the conference on Saturday. But this is what he does is sits down and assesses their full situation. And then it gives a better sense of how much you should take out this year. Should they feel comfortable going forward? Should they not feel comfortable? Should they adjust their risk strategy, etc.? And you're listening to Invest Talk. Our last segment of the hour is coming up, but we can still fit you in with your question at 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Mike from Washington. I have a quick question I didn't understand exactly, but my wife turned 70 and a half last year, and so she had to take her required minimum distribution. We have an account with Edward Jones, and what they did was take it out of the mutual funds in IRA and put it in our joint account, but still in the form of stocks. So I thought she had to take cash, but is this something common that happens? And will there be charges when the stocks go up or down? I appreciate your help, and thank you again. I really appreciate your program. Bye now.
Well, that there shouldn't be an issue of taking the money out of your IRA and putting it into an individual account. First off, because you're taking a withdrawal from that that IRA, and you're putting into an individual taxable account. So that is going to be income for you. You're going to have to report that. And that's what I talked about earlier about having maybe too much into an IRA or 401k, and maybe that bumps you into a new tax bracket. I don't know. But I don't know what the fees Edward Jones is going to charge you. There could be potentially fees there. For personally, I think Edward Jones is one of the worst brokers you could ever have. I see so many issues with them on a regular basis. So personally, I would look for somebody else besides Edward Jones, but they might be giving you some sort of, or charging you some sort of fee for that transaction or moving account. I don't know. And that's really up to Edward Jones. But there shouldn't be an issue with taking that out of your IRA as your RMD, as long as it's your full, her full RMD. You should be fine. You shouldn't have to have a penalty as long as you took that full RMD. Now let's try to answer one more question before our hour is up. 888-99-CHART is our 24-hour number.
Hello there. Hope all is well with everybody. My name is Habib. I currently live in the Washington, D.C. area. I would like to get your insight or your thoughts on Intel. I'll be listening to the podcast. Oh, and just to make note, I'm a 27-year-old, very interested in investing. I believe I am a part of the younger demographic that listens to your podcast. So I really enjoy your podcast, and I hope that you continue to give us very, very, very good quality content. Thank you, and I'll listen in.
Well, I appreciate that, and glad to see we are reaching a younger audience. We definitely want to help the young people really get interested in putting money away, investing for their future, and retirees as well, and everyone in between. We like to give as much advice as we possibly can. Now, on Intel, everyone knows, I don't think I need to tell everybody who Intel is. There's certainly a solid company, solid cash flows, consistent. I don't think the PC industry, I think the demise of the PC industry is grossly exaggerated, although it is going to be some decline over time. But I think that Intel is doing a good job of redeploying that cash flow that they get from their PC business and investing in other areas of the technology space. I believe they just bought FireEye, and they probably spent a little bit too much, to be honest with you, on FireEye. Was super expensive. Or wasn't FireEye? Was it FireEye? No. What was the other one? What did they just purchase? It wasn't FireEye. God, I can't remember at the top of my head. Anyway, let me look it up while I'm doing this. What was it? Mobileye. That's what it was. Mobileye was one they bought, and that's in those in sensors to detect all the things around a car, right? Well, think about self-driving cars. And they believe in that as a growth driver over the long term. And that's why they paid up so much for it. And it's certainly going to need to be for them to make it worthwhile. And I think it's actually a really good thing for the space, because there's so going to be so much more focus and attention to developing the technology around self-driving cars. And I think it's great for that space. And I think it's great that Intel is looking beyond the PC space. And from a fundamental perspective, I actually think it's pretty decent. Its earnings yield is operating earnings is about 7.5%. Not fantastic, but for a large cap name, pretty good. Decent growth. You know, you have revenue growth year over year of about 10%. Pretty good. And they're diversifying their business even more, which I like. So I'm actually a fan of Intel. Its dividend yield's about 3%, and its payout ratio is only about 35%. Meaning they certainly can pay that and probably raise it. Now, it's going to be volatile. It's going to decline in the next recession. So be aware of that. And technically, it's kind of in a situation. It's not too exciting, to be honest with you. But certainly should be in your radar. And if you have a long-term time horizon, I think you'll do well on Intel. But it will be volatile because it's a semiconductor name. Now, our time is up for this hour. If you'd like to contact me directly with a personal message, just click on the Contact Justin button on investtalk.com. I'm financial advisor Justin Klein, Executive Vice President of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. Now, on behalf of Steve Peasley and everyone at KPP, thank you for being with us, and let's plan on getting together again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing.